podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Matthew 15, verses 7 to 20. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." Father, as we come before you today and look at your word, we just ask, Lord, that you might speak to our hearts. Father, if there are evil ways within us, Father, ways that need to be checked and considered, and areas where we need to repent and confess our sins before you, Lord, point those areas out to us this morning. Lord, we want to follow you more closely, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we would have probably looked up to these guys and thought of them as devoted believers in God, because that is certainly what they were. I mean, they were very serious about their faith. These guys, most of their lives were consumed with obeying the will of God. That's what they wanted for themselves and for anyone who followed them. They believed in God's word, and they were devoted to its teaching. And they spent a whole lot of time in their life just sitting with God's word, trying to figure out what it meant so that they could teach others. They tithed regularly. They were extremely, extremely specific about the amounts that they would tithe. They strived to remain pure in their lives. Everything they did, they wanted to make sure that anything they ate was pure and kosher and blessed and good. They made sure that their hands were washed completely, ceremoniously, ritually, before they ate anything. They were disciplined in their prayer life. They loved the nation of Israel, and they believed that the land was promised to them by God. And they looked forward to seeing what God was going to do in the future. You'd look at these guys and you'd say, that this is a good group of men who are devoted to God, love Him, and are following Him. They sound like good people, don't they? Well, if you knew them, you would have to say that they were obedient to God from what you saw. But Jesus called them names. He called them hypocrites. He called them blind guides. He called them fools. He called them whitewashed tombs. Said they were clean on the outside, but they were full of dead bones and filth on the inside. He said that they were snakes. And I'm talking about the Pharisees, of course. A group of about 6,000 men who were very stern when it came to their obedience to God. And they expected everyone else around them to be just as obedient and just as serious about their faith. And they walked around in Israel during their day judging what they saw, telling people you need to be serious about your faith and you need to be obedient to God. And the Old Testament law meant everything to them, very important to them. They saturated themselves with the Old Testament law. They found something over 600 commands in the law that they were required to obey. And then that wasn't enough for them. They went beyond that. These were extreme believers. They decided to come up with their own laws. So they came up with books full of laws in addition to what was found in the Old Testament to make sure that they didn't even come close to breaking the Old Testament law. They were extreme believers in God. So if the Pharisees were religious men who worked hard to please God and to do His will, who were serious about the law, why would Jesus call them names like that? It doesn't seem fair. What the Pharisees didn't know was that Jesus was God. in the flesh. And he could see beyond their religious facade, right deep down into their soul. He saw their heart and the condition of the inside. Didn't matter to him what the outside looked like. What mattered to him was what the inside looked like. And he could see deep into their heart. You know, you can dress up an old, rotten, water-damaged, termite-infested home with new shingles and expensive vinyl siding. You can do that. It'll look pretty on the outside, but the truth of the matter is, on the inside, it'll still be rotten to the very core. Scripture tells us that God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks into the heart. So we look at the outside of a person, we look at their activities, their actions, their expressions, we look at what they say, and we judge a person based on that. But God looks at a person and judges them by their heart. He sees deep inside. And so little did the Pharisees know that Jesus, when he was looking at them, was looking beyond their fancy robes and their tassels and their hand washing and their pious, disapproving faces and the judgments. He saw right through them like an MRI deep inside of them, and was focused not on their religious activities or their obedience or the exterior, the things that they wanted him to see. He saw the parts that they thought were hidden, the inside, the truth about them. They did a good job covering it up, but not when Jesus was around. Jesus knew the truth, that beyond that holy exterior was a heart deeply in need of a relationship with God. Now, in our scripture this morning, Jesus quoted a verse that's found from the prophet Ezekiel, and he quoted this verse to the Pharisees. Now, I'm sure the Pharisees had heard this verse before. They had studied it themselves, but never before had someone recited this verse to them. And so this verse is talking about you. Isn't that something? When the scripture that we've read all of our lives and said, yeah, look at that, that's great. Someone takes it and turns it around and speaks it to us. That's what happened here. The words that Jesus spoke to him are found here in Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And his point was this, that heart worship tops lip worship. Heart worship tops lip worship. God knows your heart. I mean, you can talk a good game, you can make yourself look and sound holy by the things that you say and the way that you present yourself, but in the end, your heart is where the truth resides. What truly matters is what's inside. And I once ministered to a man who sat each Sunday in the back row of our church. This was in New Jersey, so those of you in the back row, don't feel self-conscious this morning. But he sat in the back row every Sunday. He used to greet me on the way out following the service, and you know, he had all of the right words as he walked out. You know, God bless you, Pastor. That was a sermon that fed my soul. The only problem was that the alcohol vapors on his breath could melt the paint off the walls. Every Sunday morning, the sermon didn't matter so much as, you know, I suppose maybe it sounded a lot better for him. I don't know. But there was no hiding the truth. His breath, his bloodshot eyes, they told the story. As hard as he tried to make me think he had it all together, he was addicted to liquor as he was coming to worship God. Now, I praise God that he was coming to worship God. That's where he belonged. Sick people need to come to hear what the doctor has to say. However, when we come with a holy look about ourselves, to hide the truth that there's something wrong inside, that's the definition of a Pharisee. That's the game that the Pharisee plays. He's desperately sick on the inside, needing some type of healing, but he attempts to look composed and holy, like he's got it all together on the outside. But God knows the truth. And so Jesus, as he was ministering, came across these Pharisees from time to time. The Pharisees were following Jesus, not because they wanted to obey him, but because they didn't like him at all. He was a threat to them. They thought that if this guy keeps teaching the things that he's teaching, we're going to lose our following, we're going to start following him. And so they disapproved of everything he said. And Jesus had a lot to say about the Pharisees because they were oftentimes standing real close to where he was during his teaching. We must be careful because God sees our hearts this morning. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows the condition of your life right now, your secret sins, the things that you're desperately trying to hide, the things that if everybody knew about, you'd be mortified today. God knows them. So as we sing and we smile, and God knows if we're genuine worshipers or if we're just frosted fakes this morning. I had a seminary professor who used to say that worship is not state of the art, it's state of the heart. God cares much more about our motive, our heart of worship, than he does about how perfect our worship is, if we hit the right notes, if we're on tune. You know, you might be surprised today to see who would win American Idol if Jesus were the judge, because he judges by a completely different standard. Jesus called the Pharisees by some names in our scripture that we looked at today. He was outspoken about their condition because they weren't doing anybody any good with their attitudes. And so in chapter 15, verse 7, he calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites, he says. A hypocrite is an actor. It's a pretender. Here's a good definition of the word hypocrite. It's a person who feigns some desirable or publicly approved attitude. So you're faking this publicly approved attitude, especially one whose private life opinions or statements belie his or her public statements. So in other words, you come across as one thing that's approved by others, but the truth of the situation is that your actions and your lifestyle and what's true about you on the very inside demonstrates that it's all just a sham. It's a lie. You're a hypocrite. This describes the Pharisees. They put across this holy vibe. Wherever they went, they were vocal in their opinions and in their judgments. But Jesus saw something when he looked at them. He looked deep down into their hearts. He saw what was really true about them was they were just blowhards. Just blowhards. They were sinful men like you and me. They had just finely tuned their lives in some way to make it look like they were right. To make it look like things were good. They had their fancy clothes. They knew how to impress folks with their stern expressions and their religious language. But Jesus also called them, in chapter 15 and verse 13, weeds. In that verse, Jesus replies, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." He's talking about the Pharisees. He's insinuating that these plants, the Pharisees, had not been planted by God, but that they would be uprooted in days to come. It reminds me of a story that Jesus told about the wheat and the weeds. He told this story one time about a farmer who sowed the wheat, but then an enemy came along later and also sowed tares or weeds in the midst of that wheat. So the wheat and the tares were growing up together, and a decision had to be made. Some of the workers in the field came to the owner of the field and said, "We need to get rid of these weeds. We need to pull them right away because they're taking nutrients away from the wheat." And the owner of the field said, "No, hold on. Let's let them grow together. We'll wait until the harvest time. And on the day of the harvest, we'll pull it all. And then we'll separate the wheat from the tares. And the tares will be thrown into the fire where they will be burned." This is kind of what Jesus is talking about here when he's referring to the Pharisees. He's saying, these ones were not planted by God. Their heart is not in the right place. And there's coming a day when the good will be separated from the evil. When those who know God and worship Him from a pure heart will be separated from those who are faking it, who are pretending. And on that day, those who are pretending will be burned. It won't turn out well for them. This is the picture that Jesus was drawing from. And one of the implications of that parable is that the weeds and the wheat look alike. They look the same. You can hardly tell the difference between them. But when God looks at them, He knows. He knows the truth about each one of our souls and our hearts and where we stand before Him today. The Pharisees are weeds. They serve no purpose but to take nutrients from the true plants. And they get in the way, and they grow big, and they grow strong, and sometimes they can look reasonably impressive, but they're worthless. Another name that Jesus called the Pharisees in this passage is blind guides, chapter 15, verse 14. "Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." This is where we get our saying, the blind leading the blind. That never works out well. never works out well. Now imagine if you hired a fishing guide who was going to take you out to the river to fish for some rainbow trout. And he's dressed up in all the latest of the fishing gear, you know what I'm talking about. He's got the fancy vest with all sorts of colored flies stuck to it. And he's got the most expensive waders. And he walks you down to the stream, and then he pulls out this long, whippy, expensive fly rod. And he starts throwing his fly, and it's dancing on the water. Beautiful form. He looks like Brad Pitt in A River Runs Through It, if you've ever seen that movie. He's just fishing along this stream. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. He's got all the latest gear, the fancy hat. I mean, he looks good. But after about 4 or 5 hours of fishing with him, you come to a realization. We haven't caught any fish. And so you walk up to him and say, hey, I hate to disturb you because, you know, your form is perfect, but I got a question for you. Why don't we have any fish? And then what if he were to answer you, well, to be honest with you, I've never been to this stream before. I don't even know where the fish are. I can't read the stream at all. You might be disappointed that you paid money for this guide to take you someplace where he had never been. That's what Jesus was saying about the Pharisees. Here's a group of guys that are all dressed up in their religious clothing. They look religious. They sound religious. They act religious. Everything about them says this is someone who knows God and obeys God. But the truth of the matter is they're trying to lead people to a place where they have never been. And that is an honest-to-goodness relationship with God that has broken their heart and changed them. They've never arrived there yet, and so they can't lead anybody else to that place. The Pharisees made themselves out to be these great spiritual leaders, but they wouldn't know the Spirit of God if he stood in their face and introduced himself. In fact, he did. Jesus did. He was right there in their midst, and they rejected him. They were so busy trying to protect the rules that they had set up to obey God, that when God was right there with them, they completely missed him. In fact, they were instrumental in making sure that he went to the cross and that he died there. And their followers missed him too, because these were blind guides, the blind leading the blind. So Jesus called them blind guides because false obedience helps nobody. False obedience helps nobody. It can't save you. It can't save others. So don't do it. I mean, either obey or disobey. The worst thing you do is fake obedience by living a life that secretly is evil. It's the worst you can do. One of the things that the Pharisees were upset about was that Jesus and his disciples did not wash their hands properly. That's where this whole story came from in the gospel. Jesus and his disciples started to eat. And the Pharisees were looking at them and go, oh my goodness, did you see that? They didn't even wash their hands. Now, it wasn't that these guys were neat freaks and they carried Purell wherever they went. It wasn't that at all. What the truth of the matter was, this was a ceremonial and religious thing. They washed their hands. And they had a specific way of washing their hands to let you know that I am holy and I'm about to approach this food and I'm going to make sure that everything that goes into my mouth is pure. And so they washed their hands ceremoniously and they looked at Jesus and his disciples and said, look at them. They just stuck their hands right in that food and started eating. Jesus and his disciples weren't proper to them. No proper rabbi would approve of such behavior and allow his followers to eat that way. So look at what Jesus has to say about it in the passage, chapter 15 and verse 10. He says, as he calls the crowd to himself, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, this is what makes him unclean. Now, some of the disciples heard that, and they said, well, we need a little bit of explanation, Jesus. We don't get that. We understand what you said. What goes into a mouth doesn't make him unclean. What comes out of your mouth makes you unclean. But what does that really mean? And so Jesus broke it down for them a little bit better. Later on in verse 15, Peter said, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you still so dull? I hate to say this, but I think Jesus would say that to me a lot. You think he'd say that to you? Are you still so dull? You know, come on. Haven't you gotten it by now? How many times do I have to try and tell you? Jesus asked them. And then he said, don't you see, verse 17, that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? Okay, that is just anatomy, right? Garbage in, garbage out. That's the way it works. Verse 18, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. And then he gives us a list. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. There should probably be an et cetera on the end, because some people like to take these lists literally and say, well, if I haven't done any of those things, then I'm okay. But the list could go on. Anything that comes out of the heart, those are the things that betray the fact that the heart is evil. In verse 20, these are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. So it wasn't what was going into the mouth that was the problem. It wasn't the unwashed hands that were the problem. The problem was the heart and what was coming out of that heart. And so as Jesus looked at the disciples, one of the things that he noticed was that they were religiously pure and that they were obeying all sorts of rules, some of them that God never even put in place. They're doing a good job with that. But he looked at them and he heard the vitriol of the judgment that came out of their mouths when they talked about Jesus and other people. And Jesus looked at that and he said, there's evil on the inside and it's coming out. And that's what's important. That's what makes you unclean. Doesn't matter how many Sabbath laws that you keep. What really matters is the heart. And so Jesus looked at them and he saw that. The point that he made was that evil is a heart problem. Evil's a heart problem. No manner of acting holy will ever make you holy. You hear that? No manner of acting holy will ever make you holy. Holiness comes through a relationship with the living God, where he comes into your life and changes you. Washing your hands at some religious ceremony may look godly, but if your heart is full of evil thoughts, it won't make you godly. What difference will it make if your hands are clean when your heart is filthy? It's like that rotten house with the expensive vinyl siding. The truth is, it's falling down from the inside, no matter how pretty it looks on the outside. So let's make it clear. Following Jesus is not determined by whether you wear slacks or a skirt. What translation of the Bible you carry, whether you wear a tie to church or not, what style of music you use to worship God, whether you prefer the organ, the banjo, the mandolin, the electric guitar, or the drum set, whether you kneel or sit when you pray, whether you raise your hands or clap when you sing or sit on your hands, whether you use words like blessing and praise in your everyday language, whether you can recite scripture verses in conversations with people, whether you will listen to K-Love or BFJ, whether you like Joel Osteen or Charles Stanley, whether you drink regular or decaf, these things do not make you holy. Understand that? It's not what we consume that makes us holy. Only God makes you holy from the inside out. Admit that you're a sinner, confess that you've been wrong, repent of your sin, and turn to Jesus broken. Turn to Jesus alone for your salvation. Because none of these things on the outside can make you holy. No amount of acting holy and pretending to be holy will make you holy. Only getting on your knees before Jesus Christ and admitting yourself a sinner, confessing and repenting and turning to Him and asking Him to come in and change you, only that will make you holy. Because Jesus is the Holy One, and His holiness will be applied to you, and then you will be saved. Get a new heart and follow Jesus. That's the only way a man or a woman can become righteous. Let's look at our Jesus values again. First one being salvation is a who, not a do, which just means this, that we don't get saved by doing anything. We get saved by believing in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is a who, not a do. Number two, things are a means, not an end. We don't live our lives to get things. Things are just things that we use along this journey of life that God has called us to live. People are priorities, not pawns. People aren't things that we use to get along in our life. People are what God has called us to minister to. The people are the ones that are important. Ministry is redeeming, not condemning. So if we want to minister to others, we don't do that by judging them and condemning them and calling them stupid and saying that they're evil. We minister to them by wanting to lift them up and raise them up and redeem them the way that Jesus has done to us. And finally, today, obedience is heart, not appearance. It's heart, not appearance. Let me close our time this morning by appealing to Jeff Foxworthy for just a moment. You know Jeff Foxworthy used to have those jokes, "You might be a redneck if..." These jokes aren't going to be funny, okay? But "you might be a Pharisee if..." You might be a Pharisee if you are glad you are better than others. You might be a Pharisee if your sins seem so small when placed beside the really big sins of others. You might be a Pharisee if you verbally rip apart the people who disagree with you. You might be a Pharisee if you rehearse your virtues when you should be confessing your sin. You might be a Pharisee if you take delight in checking off your religious to-do list. You might be a Pharisee if the standard you use to judge others is you. You might be a Pharisee if you glory more in your appearance than in the heart. You might be a Pharisee if outward righteousness is more important than heart holiness. You might be a Pharisee if you find it difficult to fellowship with those who are different from yourself. You might be a Pharisee if you believe you are superior to others. You might be a Pharisee if you keep a list of your religious activities on the tip of your tongue. You might be a Pharisee if you build yourself up and your group by tearing others down. You build up yourself and your group by tearing others down. You might be a Pharisee if you despise people who do not hold your convictions. You might be a Pharisee if you excuse your arrogant behavior because you hold to the correct position, if your doctrine's correct. You might be a Pharisee if you really like to hear yourself pray out loud. You might be a Pharisee if you believe a person really pleases God by keeping all the rules. You might be a Pharisee if you feel the trail of broken relationships in your past is due to some fault in the other parties. You might be a Pharisee if you visually and intellectually comply in order to gain acceptance and approval. And finally, you might be a Pharisee if you are insulted by the notion that you may be a Pharisee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess from our heart today, Lord, that we are sometimes drawn into this game. Father, that there are times when we desperately want to be approved of, and therefore, Lord, we try our hardest to look holy, to act holy, to talk holy. Father, help us to recognize that we are just sinners who have a gracious God who has saved us. Lord, help us, Father, to turn to you, to be restored and redeemed. Father, that we wouldn't be blind guides. Father, that we wouldn't be hypocrites, to make sure that we're not weeds growing in your garden. Father, help us, Lord, to turn to you in honesty, with pure hearts. Father, as those who have been redeemed by your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we confess that there are times when we may try to look holy, when deep in our hearts we know we aren't. Father, help us, Lord, to represent the truth. Help us, Father, to always be the first to tell others that we are just sinners saved by grace. Thank you today, Lord, that you love us just the way we are, that you don't expect us to rise to any standard in our own strength in order to please you, but you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ. May we turn completely to him for our salvation and then live out our Christian lives in obedience to you from a pure heart. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.